the issue of anger for most of us has to come down to this: what do we do about it? What do we do about anger? I can catalog anger and kinds of anger all day long. I could talk about causes of anger that there could be, and there are all kinds of issues in our life that cause us anger. I will tell you that in my own life, there are two kinds of major causes that have hurt me most deeply. One was when my father left us, and I spent a good part of my adult life being angry with him. Another major cause is a sense of betrayal, personal betrayal, that I have experienced, which has hurt me more deeply than any other experience I have ever had in my life. That scar or that wound that comes from any cause like that is one that you sometimes spend a good part of your life getting over. And I can't say that I'm entirely over it, only because Satan loves to remind me of the hurt that I've experienced. And what I really should be doing in those circumstances, this is part of what we're going to be talking about now when we talk about the control of anger, what I should be doing is not to nurse my wounds, which I'm oftentimes prone to do, but to finally allow those wounds to heal. And there are ways for that. There are ways to control that given to us. Most of us have things our anger experienced it. We don't even have to worry about the explosive. Sometimes it's the long, slow burn. We don't have wounds. What we have to do, how do I control it? That is the real issue. Book of Proverbs, I'm going to have you go quoted in the New Testament. They're the hardest thing. I say it's the first thing and it's the hardest thing that we must do in order to handle this matter of anger. Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to see the phrase. Verse 29. First part. He who is slow to wrath, has great understanding. We're talking about self-control. In fact, next week I'm going to be treating the topic of self-control as such. I'm not going to dwell on that heavily here, except to say that the first and the hardest, because it's easy to recommend and it's terribly difficult to pull off. How many times have you been boiling and somebody says to you, while you're boiling, control yourself? Self-control. Well, you're at a point where you're out of control. And for them to tell you to control yourself is just about the last thing in the world you need to hear. In fact, it makes you feel badly and worse because you're being told to control yourself. But the fact of the matter is that's precisely what you need to do. And it's a sign of understanding. There's another passage of Scripture which deals with that matter as well. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. The second half of verse 18, which says, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. It doesn't tell me yet how to slow it down. It just tells me that if I do it, I might stop some fights. That if I can manage to slow it down, I might stop some of the effects, the hurt feelings, the divisions, all of the other reactions that produce evil behavior on the part of people. If I can find a way to just slow it down. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. You hurt me, I'm going to get back at you. And I'm going to get back at you that the worst way that you could possibly think of is oftentimes how we proceed, isn't it? But what do we read here in chapter 16, in verse 32? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So far, we're not yet being told how to control it. We're simply being told the benefits of controlling it and the value of controlling it. We're being told here that you're a bigger person if you don't react in like kind. That you're a better person if you don't get even and if you don't vent back at the other person. And it is difficult to do. It is as difficult as conquering a city. In fact, it is so difficult that the person who manages it is better than the person who conquers the city, according to this particular passage. That's how difficult it is to control your temper and to control your reactions when you've been hurt and when you've been crossed in one way or another. Yes, Naomi.
Our children know how to push the mother's button.
They know the...
And sometimes, you know, we can be very, very passive, but then at times when they really, you know, continue doing it, they push the wrong button, then we're angry. But now, it's really hard to be passive and understand.
Right.
And they keep pushing the wrong button.
I think therein lies one of the keys to this matter of being slow to anger, is that we think that being slow to anger means just gritting the teeth and taking it passively. I think that that kind of reaction, which is just, I can't say anything, I can't react, boom. And what happens is that you don't really slow it down, you bottle it up. You put a cork in it and it pops at a point because you really aren't diffusing. You aren't diffusing the situation. And I think that active intervention, active responding that will deal with the issues that have produced what is happening is required in order to diffuse the situation. Not to react passively, hold it inside, is a sure way to create an explosion. But that's oftentimes what we do. You're right, though. But here we're told, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes the city. So it's going to be important for us to control our anger, to be slow to anger, because we will be able to prevent the evil, we'll be able to prevent the hurt feelings, we'll be able to prevent the fights and the discord, we'll be able to prevent all these awful effects if we can just find a way to control it. All right, here's a great and dandy way. Turn to Proverbs 19. Now you talk about a tough one. You talk about a really tough thing to pull off in practice. This is a tough one. Proverbs chapter 19. You won't believe this when you see it. I can't do that. Look at verse 11 of Proverbs 19. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. I want you to understand what this means, because now we're getting our first real help here as to how to handle the anger. Discretion means wisdom. It means discernment. It means the ability to see things for what they really are, to put things into perspective. If we are able to step back mentally, like half a step, from the immediacy of what's happening, and we're able to look at the person and the situation and to realize that there's something going on in them, and there's something going on in that circumstance that has led them to do what they are doing or to say what they are saying, and that they need help, or they need to have at least you be aware of what's causing or provoking that to occur. Sometimes it is something that is in their control. Sometimes it is something that is not always in their control. But you need to step back, take a look, get some perspective, try to understand what's going on. I think that when somebody says something harsh to you and someone does something suddenly that is hurtful to you and that therefore causes you to react with anger, you should step back and say, what's going on here? What's really going on here? An attempt to understand that is step number one. Now, look at the latter half of this verse. This is the tough one. His glory is to overlook a transgression. Here is the biggest and the most likely to succeed manner of overcoming anger. And that is forgiveness. And that is not allowing what that person has done to become an issue by saying to yourself and to that person, I forgive you. When they have done something hurtful to you, when they have done something harmful to you, it is so hard to forgive someone. It is hard to forgive yourself. It's hard to forgive yourself when you have done something wrong. You could be angry at yourself because, why did I do that? I was an idiot. And I get angry with myself, or I get angry with the other. Why and how could they do that to me? How could they do that to me? And I get so upset and so worked up. I don't overlook the transgression. I grab hold of it. I put my arms around the transgression, and I let it really get through to me. I hold onto it and nurse it. I don't overlook it. There are some things that you should be angry about that are truly evil, but there are other things you can overlook. There are other things that are not that big a deal. Most of our anger occurs because of irritation over small deals. And the accumulation of small deals. One little thing after another gets under my skin, and before you know it, you know, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Why did you? And the other person's feeling, oh boy, why? I'm going to duck. Or they are the one dishing it out. And so the issue is, you know, what's important? See, first of all, get perspective. That's discretion. Look at the situation. And then ask yourself the question, what's important here? Is it worth losing my cool? Is it worth exploding over? And that's really what's being talked about. Is it something I can overlook? Can I? Because it's not going to change my world. It's not going to cause the world to end. This is not something that will hurt me permanently. This is something that I can put up with for the time being until I find out what's really the cause of what's going on here. Yes?
I had a friend,
it's not the hill. It's not the hill, exactly. You have to choose your spots. Where is it that you're going to take a stand? Where is it that you're going to hold the line and respond to evil? Sometimes you've got your line and it's very clear. At other times, it's simply that your feelings were hurt. And that's not yet a hill to die on. So that's a very good phrase to think about. Yes, Milo. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Can I tell you something? When you lose your cool in the middle of a situation like that, they've won. They've won. You've lost at that very moment. Yes, sir. I was about to talk about that. Thank you. That was a great segue. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. This is for a believer. This is not advice that you can give to an unbeliever. Verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. That's an interesting phrase in the new. That's in this the New King James, and in the King James it says, "But give place to wrath." And in the New American Standard Bible, it has in italics, "Give place to the wrath of God," which I think the context supports. Leave room for the wrath of God, which I think the context supports. And what that is saying is, you're so busy reacting from your own hurt feelings, you're not giving God a chance to make the thing right. You're not allowing Him to work justice. You're going to create your own justice instead of allowing Him to work it out. And God says, I am the one, in the end, who makes things right. Nobody gets away with anything in the sight of God. You don't have to worry whether this person is, quote, getting away with something, therefore you're going to make sure they don't get away with it. Vengeance is mine. Justice is mine. I will take care of the situation. I will bring that person to the place where they will either repent of what they have done, or where, if retribution is called for because of lack of repentance, that's my job. It is God's job to work retribution, not ours. We work our own retribution oftentimes, and we get even. Yes? Yes. That's correct. And this is a quotation from the Old Testament that's contained here in verse 20, and it's a quotation from the book of Proverbs. In fact, Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. And what it's saying is, the way to handle the person who's crossed you, the way to handle the person who's your enemy, is not by taking revenge on your enemy, but by killing him with kindness, if you will, by overcoming the evil insofar as that is possible in that given situation, by doing what is right. He does dirty to you, you do good to him. And there are people here who have had dirty done to them for long periods of time and years, and they have turned around and done good to the person who has done the dirty to them. And while they think that they are being walked on and walked over, the fact of the matter is, by doing what is right, they are overcoming evil with good. They are overcoming evil with good. Yes?
I'm not always being the good. I've known many times and finally I just know something about it. I'm going to go a different direction. Makes me realize nobody's been missing any of this. I left everything to miss me.
Yes.
So I received after God's good assignment from
You pray for your enemy. Right.
It is.
That's such godly advice. And this is precisely what the scriptures are telling us to do when we overcome evil with good. By praying, by doing good, in all of those ways. Thank you for sharing that. That really, really helps. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, which is what was just being alluded to a moment ago. And we looked at this when we did our study of Ephesians before. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. There is a proper kind of anger against evil. We talked about that a moment ago. But all anger, even righteous anger, when it becomes personal, when it becomes vindictive, can turn into sin. Did you know even righteous indignation can turn into sin by virtue of the attitude that you have toward the person who deserves the wrathful response by hating them, for example? And so we read here in this text in verses 26 and 27 of chapter 4, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. What that means is, don't allow the day to end, the conversation to end, by just clamming up. Do you know there are people that will bang the phone down when they're really angry? There are people that will slam the door. There are people that will get in their car and leave rubber as they take off. And this is their way of ending the argument. They don't end the argument, they prolong the argument as a result of that kind of behavior. Because failure to respond appropriately is to instigate further anger and to instigate further problems. And so we are not to shut it off and to shut it down. We are not to allow the conversation to end with a bang in that kind of a way. We are to continue to persist and to try to engage with the other person until a point of contact is made. And that's why we read in another text, Proverbs chapter 15, and verse 1, the first line of verse 1, chapter 15 of Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. I have had situations where someone has exploded all over me, and I've had to maintain calm and quiet in the middle of that situation in order for it not to degenerate into a mere fight. Because as long as if I engage and I respond in the same fashion that I'm being dealt out, then there will never be communication, there will never be resolution in that particular situation. Somehow, you have to do what the scriptures tell you, which is to take a deep breath. In fact, I want you to see that is one of the methods that is recommended to us. A soft answer is possible only if you take a deep spiritual breath. Take a look at Psalms chapter 4. This may be, of all things, besides that perspective thing that we talked about a moment ago, which is tied to this, really, that one of the key things to do, Psalms chapter 4, and verses 4 and 5. Psalms 4, verses 4 and 5. Great advice. With this, we're going to close. Be angry and do not sin. That was quoted, wasn't it, a moment ago, when we just read the text in Timothy. Be angry and do not sin, but look what it says you're supposed to do. You're supposed to spend time in prayer. We just heard that a moment ago. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, here it comes, and put your trust in the Lord. You have to hand it over. You have to hand it over. The only way to get rid of that vitriol, the only way to get rid of that acid anger that seeps down and corrodes the soul is to say, God, I can't handle it. You have to handle this. I don't know how to handle the situation. I don't know how to react to what's being said or to what's being done. I have this hatred in my heart. I have this resentment in my heart towards this person. Lord, you're going to have to help me. So that you need to, as the scriptures are saying here, step back, spiritually speaking, meditate, as it were, upon your bed, take a spiritual deep breath, pray for them as well as for your own response in that situation, and allow God room to work. Allow God room to work is the ultimate answer to that question. Yes?
And when you give it to him, don't take it back 3 days later.
Touché. When you give it to him, don't take it back 3 days later. Think about what's been said here. We're going to close. With regard to this matter of anger, we are to step back and have a perspective. We're to use our intelligence and try to understand what's going on, to use our discretion. We're, if possible, to overlook an offense if it's not going to be the end of the world. We are to find a way to respond to angry words with reasonable words. A soft answer is not just soft in tone. You know, you can be really insulting and say it softly. But rather, I hear recognition. But rather, you are to give a reasonable response. That's kind of a soft answer. There is one other one that I want to say to you. There's an important one I want to say to you, and I thought I was going to be finished, but I just noticed it. Chapter 12 of Proverbs, and with this I will finish. This is key. This is key. Do you know someone who has something in their life that causes them hurt or shame? And do you ever remind them of it? I have been known to do that. And it is a shameful thing for me to admit that I do that. But I acknowledge that I have done that, and that is a sin. But look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Instead of my bringing up your past, instead of my bringing up your offense, instead of my, with my elephantine memory, cataloging every offense you have ever committed, instead, I am to provide that healing that comes from allowing you time to recover and allowing you time to heal over from what it is that you have done, that you've acknowledged that you have done. The hardest thing in the world is to leave it lie once it's been dealt with. To leave the offense forgiven. And not, you see, God forgets. He forgives and forgets. We forgive, but we don't always forget. And we bring it back up again and again. And we hurt by not covering the shame, but by exposing the shame over and over again. Understand, if you love someone and if you care, cover it up. Don't mention it again. Let it lie. Forget about it. That's advice I need to learn for me. And I share that with you only because it is one particular area where I have offended greatly in times past, where I've had to seek forgiveness in times past, because I've been so hurt that I've used that as a weapon to bring something up again and again. May God forgive me for something like that. But it's something I've had to learn as a result of this particular lesson as well. And putting it into practice is going to be the test and the hard part, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I confess to you that even as recently as today, I have felt such anger. And I am so ashamed to think that I could allow that anger to come back in. I ask you to forgive me for hurting in that sort of way. And I ask, Father, now that we all may learn the lessons as to how to deal with, how to respond to those things that will seek to disquiet us, to hurt us, to irritate us, to annoy us, whatever it may be. Father, may we take the advice of your word. May we use reasonable answers. May we be willing to overlook offenses. May we be willing to step back and give you room to handle the situation. Lord, may we allow you, through the Holy Spirit, to control our responses. And may we not get even and not seek to hurt again and again those who have hurt us. Forgive us when we do that, Father. Forgive us when we react and take vengeance instead of seeking to heal. Help us, Father, to recognize that we are acting foolishly, that we are acting sinfully. And, Father, then may we make it right by showing love and forgiveness and giving space to both you to work and them to heal. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.